This episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Spanky very much.
The founding fathers became very concerned about future rebellions. When they got together in Philadelphia, 1787, to frame the Constitution of the United States, they wanted a government strong enough to put down rebellion. And so the Constitution was adopted as a, you might say, a law and order document to maintain stability.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, where we'll stop the world and melt with you. I am your host, The Stimulator, and as it happens every winter, the motherfucking global warming deniers get out their megaphones and yell,
"Look, see how fucking cold it is? Global warming is a sham."
And every year I have to remind them that it's fucking cold because it's fucking winter. But I digress. The World Meteorological Organization said that 2009 is likely to be the fifth warmest year since record dating began. If you think that that's bad news, 2009 was the second warmest year in Australia, where droughts and wildfires are a yearly reality for our friends down under.
Our economic interest, our environment interest are tied to us taking real action on climate change. This government's committed to doing it, but the opposition leader doesn't seem to believe it exists.
That was Australian Environment Minister Peter Garrett. You might remember Garrett from his band Midnight Oil, who may have inadvertently prophesied the future of his country with the song Beds Are Burning.
Crews on Cypress Mountain are taking full advantage of some recent snowfall. They're scrambling to prepare for Olympic competition, but the weather forecast continues to work against them.
Yep.
Man-made climate change
may be putting a damper on the
five cock rings of death.
Cypress Mountain, the site for the Olympic snowboarding competition and freestyle skiing competition, is as bare as Janet Jackson's right boobie at the Super Bowl. Bales of hay are being delivered by chopper to build up jumps and obstacles at a cost of over $1,000 an hour. But with a budget of $6 billion, the same amount as Haiti's gross domestic product, the greedy motherfuckers from the IOC should be able to make snow in the Sahara. Or they could just fucking take the competition to Dubai. This over-the-top Middle Eastern city is home to a ginormous indoor skiing slope in the middle of the fucking desert. But while the rich rock out with their cocks out, there is a virtual slave class that built this grotesque expression of unbridled capitalism. Yep, my fellow slaves, our priorities as a race are totally fucked. On the one hand, you have people skiing in the desert, and on the other...
So?
Wait, what's that? Wait, is that Apple CEO Steve Jobs? Hey Jobs, can you show me the new iPad?
Let me show it to you now. This is what it looks like.
O-O-B-D-A-M-A.
Snatch back your brain, zombie. Snatch it back and hold it.
Damn, T. Thanks again for saving my ass. As I was saying, our priorities are fucked. Apple expects to sell 10 million iPads this year at a cost of $500 a pop. Again, that translates to roughly Haiti's gross domestic product. Meanwhile, the man your mama calls Obama has been taking a more populist approach and unleashing a more, well, fighting spirit.
Fighting, 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 fight, fights, fights, fight, 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 fighting, fight, fighting, fighting, fight, 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 fight.
Well, fronting about fighting and actually fighting are two different things. It's like calling a bull by its name and then eating a chicken. You can't marinate the truth. For instance, on his second day in the oral orifice, the man your mama calls Obama said this.
Guantanamo will be closed no later than 1 year from now.
But we all know that Club Gitmo is still open for business, and it does not look like it will be shut down anytime soon. Just like bringing back the troops home and giving us real solutions to the problem of
man-made climate change,
Obama has reneged on his campaign promises time and time again. The only change I see is the 37 cents in my pocket. But if you still hope you can still change the system by voting, maybe the recent Supreme Court decision will change your mind. In a 5-4 vote, this geriatric group of robed weirdos handed corporate America the keys to the kingdom by giving them the right to spend unlimited amounts of money on political campaigns. I hope you are ready for the excellent elections in 2012. Maybe the Mayans were right after all. In sad fucking news, radical historian Howard Zinn kicked the bucket after a rich lifetime of giving them hell. Zinn was best known as the author of the book A People's History of the United States. That book was key in radicalizing my youthful mind, and it's a must for anyone seeking to look at the past through the eyes of the brave folks at the bottom who sacrificed their lives in the name of freedom and equality. Here's Howard Zinn at his best.
Our only hope for real change lies in the possibility that all of us who are slightly privileged and slightly uneasy begin to see that we are like the guards in the prison uprising in Attica, expendable. That the establishment, whatever rewards it gives us, will also, if necessary to maintain its control, kill us. If the guards stop obeying, if you stop obeying, the system falls. If we understand that and act on it, not only will life be more satisfying today, but our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, may see a different and marvelous world.
About now, the motherfucking resistance is gearing up to disrupt
the five Cochranes of Death
in Vancouver. As a prelude to this festival of mischievousness, the Olympic Resistance Network invited radical sports writer Dave Zirin. As a longtime fan of Howard Zinn, Zirin aptly named his book about politics and sports A People's History of Sports in the United States. Hey Dave, how the fuck are you?
Check 1, 2, Dave Zirin, boom!
Dude, can I have some of what you're drinking? Let me try this again. Dave Zirin, how the fuck are you?
Kicking ass, taking names, doing very well, thank you.
So, what the fuck is your beef with the Olympics?
My beef with the Olympics is that everywhere they go, you see the same three things. You see police repression, you see budget-busting graft, and you see hardcore gentrification and displacement. And that's true no matter where the Olympics go. Like, most people know about how this went down in Beijing, but it's not a China issue, it's not a Beijing issue, it's an Olympics issue. It's wherever they go, they make these demands of a given community, and I don't think any community should have to deal with that to host a sporting event.
I heard that you think that the anti-Olympic protests in Vancouver are going to be historic. Just what the fuck do you mean?
It's absolutely historic because every time there has been an Olympics, there's been resistance to that Olympics among the people of a given community. Sometimes huge, sometimes small, sometimes with utterly tragic results like in 1968 in Mexico City. But there has never been a convergence, particularly since 1999, on the sort of Seattle model of saying, let's put the word out and have everybody come here to protest injustice in the broadest sense and bring together different social movements as the way the Olympics kind of brings together those movements from the opposite side. I mean, the Olympics can promote unity of resistance because the Olympics takes on so many different issues in and of itself. And so that's what makes it historic. Post-Seattle, I mean, there have been, you know, half a dozen Olympic Games, I suppose, or more, like 8, and it's never happened before.
So should people come and protest the five Cochranes of Death in Vancouver this February?
Absolutely. people should come to the Convergence. If they have any way, shape, or form to come here, they should come to the Convergence. If people are worried about issues like crossing the border, I'm talking to people in the United States right now, or if people are worried about police repression, I want people to keep in mind that Vancouver is also going to be a tourist hub during the games. And so there's also going to be a counter pressure on the police in terms of cracking down. There's going to be a counter pressure at the border to not keep people out, because they need people to come to the games for them to be a success. So people should come without fear, particularly if their, you know, immigration status is solid, whether in the United States or Canada. Obviously, people who have immigration issues, you always have to be careful at these convergences. But I think anybody who has the means and the will should take the time to come here. Absolutely.
Thanks, Dave. And that about does it for this edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine. The following slaves dug deep into their pockets and fed my broadcast some beans. Sarah, Audrey, Aaron, Stephen, Amy, Chase, Philip, Jim, Rodney, Tyler, Kaylee, Michelle, Peter, John, Sabrina, the one and only Nigel, Benjamin, Dan, Noah, Harrison, Joshua, Kareem, Christopher, Dylan, Amber, and the iPod guy, Tom Shackley. To comment on this show, or for links to the motherfucking Olympic resistance, just visit my fucking website, stimulator.tv. And if you're coming to Vancouver, don't forget your rain gear.
Remember, kids, you can podcast high-quality video of this show at submedia.tv.